How are you all doing?
Hallelujah.
Well, that's good to hear. You're blessed. Today I want to talk the blessing of the Lord. The blessing of the Lord. The Word of God says in Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 22. It says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. And he added no sorrow with it. Now, as we begin to talk about this, I want you to forget about what you think will make it possible for you to be blessed or not to be blessed. Because sometimes when we talk about the blessing and riches and resources, we somehow tie it to our background, our education, whatever. But it says, the blessing of the Lord, it, the blessing, make it. Andre, Elder Andre, both of you, you stand here. I want you to have the camera pointed at them. Just stand here, Brother Andre. You stand just by the chair there, by the chair. No, Brother Andre, come here. You, Lindsay, by the chair, okay? Now, this is what I want you to do. I want you to put your hand on her shoulders and force her to sit down. You're not trying. I said force her to sit down. You want me to come help you? You're not that strong? You've not eaten for 5 weeks. Excuse me. That's what I'm talking about. We're not fooling around here. She was fighting it. But guess what? I made her. The blessing of the Lord makes you. You don't have a choice. You don't have a choice. When the blessing of God comes on you, if you wanted to do everything to be poor, the blessing will make you. It will make you. And when it makes you rich, he says, I'm not going to add any sorrow, no grief. That means nobody is going to come mess with that which the blessing has already established in your life. Are you hearing? The blessing of the Lord, it maketh. It makes me. It makes you. It forces you to be what the blessing is. In essence, God is not going to allow me to shame him. Hallelujah. God is not going to allow me to shame him. No. You are not going to disgrace this family. Praise the Lord. Someone say, I am not going to be a disgrace to the family. the family of God. We are the people of God, are we not? We are the people of God. And therefore, we must show forth the glory of the one from whom we have come, the one we represent. Hallelujah. It happens because of the manifestation of the blessing. It make it. In the book of Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, and verse 2. It says, because we are attentive to the word of God. Actually, let me take it from verse 1. It says, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, if you listen to his voice, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. I have a place for you. It is above all the nations of the earth. Now the Lord tells us that that which is born from above is above all. So I have a position for you. It's a position that overrides every other position. It matters not what has happened in the past, who was ahead of you. If you listen to my instruction, I'm about to navigate you right to the top. Is somebody listening? Are you listening? God is saying, forget about where other people are. I'm about to navigate you right to the top. All I need for you to do is listen to my instruction. Put your hand on your head. Say, Father, I receive the mind of Christ. And with this mind, I am able to process the instruction that you've given to me to fulfill your divine mandate for my life. In Jesus' name, put your hands on your ears and say, Father, I declare by the word of decree that these ears are hearing ears. I hear your voice. I hear your command. And I obey your instructions in Jesus' mighty name. Praise the Lord. It says that as we hear and obey the instruction, it says all these blessings, and it's going to list the blessings. It says all these blessings shall come on thee. They're going to come on you. Not only are they going to come on you, they are going to overtake you. If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. If you just listen, it says, I have blessings that are going to jump on you and overtake you. It jumps on you so that you are a blessing, and from that point on, you are walking in the blessing because the blessing has overtaken you. Now, if the blessing overtakes you, there are two things happening here. The blessing pursued after you. So here you are, and all of a sudden the blessing is coming from behind and jumps on you. And while you are saying, hey, what's that, what's that? It's overtake. So if you look back, you see the track of the blessing. You're not hearing yet. God turns around the mess of the past, and that turf that used to be potholes is now paved. And you wonder, when did that happen? Well, he said in John that you, when you come through the door, you shall go in and out and find pasture. I don't want you today to curse your past anymore. I don't know if you hear him. Don't curse your past. See it as the blessing of the Lord. Hallelujah. It's so easy to bemoan our past and cry about all the bad things that happened, the abuse, the letdown, the disappointments, all of that, the sickness, the disease, all of that. And God says, hey, I'm turning it all around. I don't know if you're hearing. He says, I'm turning it around. You're going to look back and see the goodness of the Lord. You're going to look ahead of you and see the goodness of the Lord. Hallelujah. Do you remember some weeks back I was sharing with you about how Peter and the rest of the crew had been sent by the Lord to go across the sea. And when they got to the middle, the Bible says this storm arose and it was contrary to them. You remember that? And they were scared. They were afraid. They wondered about their life, their families. Oh, this is the end of it. I will never see my family again. I'm done. Blah, 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 and so on and so on. Peter says, the Lord says, it is I. Don't be afraid. Remember that? And the Lord bid him come, and he walked on the water, came to where Jesus was, and then he looked away, and he began to sink. Remember that? Now, he made the statement, it is I, don't be afraid. In essence, I'm not a ghost. I'm not dead. I'm alive. Are we together so far? But I want you to consider this other aspect. It is I, don't be afraid. What was he saying? He was saying, listen, yes, the storm has been contrary. The storm has been trying to drown you. The storm has been trying to sink you. The storm has been trying to do all of this. But I want you to see that it is I. You don't get it yet. It is I. In essence, he's saying, you know that storm that the devil is trying to use to mess you up? He's saying, it is I. Oh, it is I what? What do you mean it is I? It is I, that 18-wheeler that's rushing, trying to crush you. I have come inside that vehicle. I have moved them out of the way, the one who was trying to destroy you, and it is I. Now that it is I can put the brakes on it. I'm putting the brakes on it. It is I. It is I. In the midst of this storm, it is I. in the midst of this confusion. It is I. It is I. And because it is I, and I am the one in charge of this situation right now, I am going to cause all things to work together for your good. It is I. Don't be afraid. So when the storm rages, be reminded, the God who is the I am, that I am, you are on the throne. You are on the throne. And because you're on the throne, I need not be afraid. Your blessing is on me. It's making me rich. And no sorrow is added. The blessing of the Lord. In Numbers chapter 6, in verse 23 through 27, God speaks to Moses and says, I want you to tell Aaron and his sons to bless my people. Speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, on this wise, this is how you're going to bless the children of Israel, saying unto them. So we know that the blessing is released by spoken words. So you got to say to them, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord bless you. Now, the blessing is a multiplier. It's about the abundance of God. It's about increase. He said, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. Because, you see, sometimes a blessing can come and we pursue after the blessing or the manifestation of the blessing and forget about the blesser. Say, the Lord bless thee and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon thee. In other words, let God put his face on you. Let God put his face on you so that when the enemy looks at you, they see the face of the Lord. Amen. The Lord be gracious unto thee. The Lord be gracious unto you. Yeah, we're talking about the grace of God. Living life without the sweating. If you had a flat tire and you needed that tire changed and you try to do it in your own strength and your own ability, I don't care how strong you are, it's not going to happen. You need a jack to jack that vehicle up. That jack takes the whole weight of that vehicle so that you can do what you need to do to change your tire. That jack becomes grace to you. Grace is going to the car lot, buying a particular vehicle just fresh from the manufacturers and has only about 10 kilometers in it. But you want to take that vehicle from Winnipeg all the way to Montreal. Maybe that's 2,000, 3,000 kilometers from here, I don't know. And if you drove it all that distance when you arrived in Montreal, it would be 3,000, 10 clicks. But no, you didn't do that. You put it on a flatbed. And the flatbed takes that vehicle all the way from Winnipeg to Montreal. It covers that 3,000. And when you arrive in Montreal and you look at the odometer, it still reached 10 kilometers. Why? The flood that did all the work. And when God is gracious to you, he's saying, I'm going to do all the work. Come on the ride. Are we together? God wants to give you a free ride.
Amen.
Do you receive that?
I receive.
Because what I'm saying to you right now, you're going to have according to your faith. Those who choose to believe what is prophetically being released right this very moment are going to tap into the wholesomeness of the fruition, the fulfillment, the manifestation of what God is doing. He says, the Lord be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee. In essence, let God not have his head buried. Let him lift up his face and smile, satisfied. The joy of the Lord becoming your strength. Amen? And give thee peace. His shalom, his shalom. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Everything in its proper order. Nothing disjointed. Seamless interaction, seamless outpouring of grace and favor. Shalom of God. Now, how is all of this going to happen? It's going to happen because of what we are about to read next. He says, and they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. The blessing of the Lord comes upon them because the name of the Lord has been put on them. So I want you to rise with me. Put your hand on your head again. Father, in obedience to your word and your instruction, I put your name on these sons and daughters and everyone, oh God, that is hearing this declaration right now. The name of the Lord is tattooed on you. In the mighty name of Jesus. The name of the Lord is engraved on you. In the mighty name of Jesus. The name of the Lord is trademarked on you. In the mighty name of Jesus. And Father, now speak the blessing. I speak it over your people. We are truly blessed and highly favored of you. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pronounce this decree on you and your children and your children's children for the generations to come until our Lord Jesus Christ returns. In Jesus' name we declare so. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 You may be seated. This is the blessing of the Lord. In Numbers chapter 23, I'm going to read from verse 19. Actually, before we go to Numbers 23, Let's look at Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. From verse 7 through 13. This is a passage of scripture that the Lord brought us to some time back. He's bringing us back here. Purposely because of the name that is put on you. What is the significance of that name on you? It means that you, having been marked, are now a property of God. That means that He is Lord over your life. Praise God. You belong to Him. He's marked you. And here in Revelation 3:7, it says, "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, this thing saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that had the key of David, he that openeth and no man shut it, and shut it and no man openeth." In essence, He is in charge. He says, "I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door." The thing about open doors is if you don't go through them, it's still shut. That door is open, but until I go through it, it is shut to me, even though it's open. And God says, "I've set before you an open door. And it is permanently open. No man can shut it." This is not about you opening it because your strength is too small. He says, "For thou hast little strength." That's why I'm opening it. And I'm keeping it open. You're not strong enough to open this door. What kind of a door can that be? Doors swing based on the hinges. That means the weight of this door is so heavy, so big, that with my little strength, I cannot even, with the help of hinges. Because you cannot have a door without a system that uses some kind of mechanism or hinge. Whether you're rolling it, or swinging it, or lifting it, there is a mechanism. And he says, your strength is so small, you can't do it. But this I have to say about you. You've kept my word. You've kept my word. You've held on to my word. And you've not denied my name. When it seemed like things were not going the way that it should go, you held on to my word. You did not let go. He says, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. You still believe I'm a good God when things that were not so good were happening. You still were lifting up your hands in worship and adoration. You still are singing over a dry well when I told you you were going to get water from that dry well. You kept on singing and using your sticks. Listen, if it is a well, there's no way that your stick is going to go inside that dry well. So, you're using your stick to scratch the ground over here, not inside there. believing that whatever little that you did here is going to have an impact there inside that well. Is somebody listening? You see, the things of God don't make sense to the natural mind. What are we singing about? We should be stoning somebody here. Moses, you asked us all to come here, to come that there's going to be water in this well. We are looking at the well now. It's dry. And you're telling me God said. Yeah? But that's not what he did. They started singing. They started singing a new song. Spring up, oh well. Spring up. Release that water that's in there that we cannot see. But we know there is water here because God said there's water here. You receive a prophetic word that the blessings of God are bestowed upon you, and the first letter you get the next day has a different color. It's not white. It's pink. Final notice. But God said, your bills are paid. And what you see is something totally different. What do you do? Do you now disbelieve? Or do you say, let God be true and all men liars? No, this is not my portion. This is not my portion. Not when God said, I am blessed. And then you're telling me that I'm going to be evicted? No, that is not my story. What my story is that surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the presence of the Lord forever. I choose to believe God, not my circumstance. My circumstance is telling me a different story from what God is saying. I believe God. He says, you've kept my word and not denied my name. He says, behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. I want you to know that I love you, and I am going to cause those who are of the synagogue of Satan, who are liars, who are speaking death, speaking hopelessness into your life, I'm going to cause them to come to your feet and bow and say, we don't know how this happened, but your God certainly is a good God. Because we were already writing your obituary. We thought you were done. We thought you were finished. And God says, no. The blessing is here. He says, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation. I'm going to keep you from the hour of temptation, that time that is coming upon the whole world to try them that dwell upon the earth. It is to try them that dwell on the earth. It is to try them that dwell on the earth. But do you see yourself seated with him in heavenly places? Then you are not of this world. So this problem that is coming is not for you. He says, behold, I come quickly. Hold fast that which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. In essence, God says, I've put a crown on you, and the way it stays on you is by you taking a hold of my word and not letting it go. You see, because there are people, there are agents of darkness that want to come and take what belongs to you. He says, him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. Pillars don't move. Praise the Lord. Pillars don't move. They hold up structures. And God's saying, I'm going to make you a pillar in my house. And I'm going to write upon him the name of my God. I'm going to write the name of my God on him. And the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem. Well, when we talk about heaven and the streets of gold, really what we're talking about is this New Jerusalem. And God is saying, hey, I'm taking you out of the dirt pavement, and I'm going to give you streets of gold. Layers and layers and layers in the foundation of precious stones. So I'm going to write that on you. I'm going to place on you precious. He says, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. That's what the Lord says. He says, I'm going to write on you my new name. Jesus has a new name. How amazing can that name be? When the name of Jesus is a name that every knee must bow to and every tongue confess that he is Lord of the things in heaven, the things in the earth, and the things under the earth. Oh, this new name overrides every essence out there. You know, when God talks about heaven and earth, he didn't mention Jupiter, he didn't mention Saturn, he didn't mention, oh, but this new name overrides in every realm. I know it sounds like we're talking nonsense, but listen, there are beings that are not human, alien beings, and you and I have to have authority and exercise that authority, as the Word of God says, against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, and all spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. And the name of Jesus will work. No matter how big or small they are. Because you're not wrestling against flesh and blood. And it is this blessing of the Lord on your life, because the name of God is on you, that is going to bring about the transformation that you and I need in this last of the last days. It is not by our might nor power, but by his Spirit. Day by day, we are edging deeper and deeper into this arena, this realm in God that is not explained by mental jugulations of the natural mind. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20, it says, "For all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him, amen, so let it be. Unto the glory of God." And then there's that two words there, by us. It is yes and amen by how you receive it and establish it in your mind. It's not yes and amen for you if you don't come into agreement with it. And previous verses, Paul saying, listen, we didn't come with you with nay, nay, yay, yay. We just came with yay. Yes. God is moving us by His Spirit to that place where we know that 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 our declarations by faith is stamped by the amen. Jesus. He's the amen. What is it that you and I want to see happen? What is it that we're trusting God for? God said, I'm bringing you to that place of the amen. Not yes, no, yes. So be careful what you're asking for. Oh, I don't know if you heard that. Be careful what you're asking for, because it's going to be yes. Be careful what you're saying out of your mouth, because the answer is going to be yes. Hear that. Hear that. Hear it deep within your spirit that God is saying to us, I'm bringing you to the place of the yes. Hallelujah. Verse 21 says, now he which establisheth or establishes us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God. It is God who's anointed me to present to you the yes of God, the amen of God, to present to you the markings, to say, you are marked. I've put the name of God on you. Receive it. Hallelujah. Now wrap up. There's so much more to share with you this morning. With Numbers 23, beginning to read it from verse 19. Numbers 23, 19. Here the word of God is clear. Balak and Balaam are working in concert to try to curse the people of God. And instead of cursing, Balaam begins to bless the people of God. Balak, the king, is very upset and said, I hired you to come curse these people. And here you come and you're blessing them. In Numbers 23:19, it says, God is not a man. that he should lie. That tells us something. Men lie. Men lie intentionally and sometimes unintentionally. Man can promise you something. I'm going to do such and such and such for you. And then something else comes up and they cannot do it. It becomes a lie. It was not fulfilled. God is not that one. A man who says something and doesn't do what he said he's going to do. Neither the Son of Man that he should repent, change his mind on this. Had he said, and shall he not do it? Had he spoken, and shall he not make it good? If he spoke it, he's going to make it good. Now in verse 20 it says, behold, I have received commandment to bless. And he had blessed, and I cannot reverse it. This is irreversible, irrevocable blessing. The door opened and no man can shut it. He had not beheld, God has not beheld iniquity in Jacob. Neither had he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord, his God, is with him. And the shout of a king is among them. The shout of a king is what? Among them. This is before Samuel and Saul and David. God was saying, the shout of a king is among them. In other words, my plan and my purpose is to have raise up a king in this tribe. All this tribe, you're going to have a king. The problem was not that Saul was sought after. It was that Saul was sought after before the timing of God. And you and I don't want to receive anything before its timing. We want it to arrive at the right time. Amen? It says, God brought them out of Egypt. He had, as it were, the strength of an unicorn. Legendary. Mysterious. And then it says, surely there is no enchantment against Jacob. I want you to put your name there. There is no enchantment against Michael. Neither is there any divination against Ephesino, Israel. Whatever it is that they're doing, it isn't going to work. Because the blessing has been pronounced. It says, according to this time, this time. What time? The time of the blessing of the Lord. It shall be said of Jacob and of Israel, what had God wrath? What happened here? It says, the people shall rise up as a great lion and lift up himself as a young lion. He shall not lie down until he eat of the prey and drink the blood of the slain. What is God saying? God simply saying, listen, I got you. If you're old or young, it doesn't matter. The old and the young, from the youngest to the oldest, everybody is going to defeat the enemy that stands before them. Whatever that enemy is. And it's happening because of the blessing. So Balak says unto Balaam, neither curse them at all, nor bless them at all. I don't want to do anything anymore. I don't do anything. Well, the blessing of God is coming on you. It's coming on me. It's coming upon this congregation, this body of Christ. And it's going to make us prosperous and successful in every realm. Do you receive this word? Then shout hallelujah unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen.